This is WDCV-FM, Carlisle, 88.3, Dickinson College Radio, broadcasting from the heart of the Cumberland Valley. And now, live from Studio 118B, here's Dickinson College President Bill Durden.
This is Bill Durden, and this is the Bill Durden Show. Yes, we persist with the show. We've been dealing with all the write-ins, but actually I haven't found any of those yet, so I'm working on those. But nevertheless, this Alex back there, are you back there?
That's right, sir.
How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. A lot of work, but, you know.
I bet you're doing pretty well, too, right?
Struggling, but, you know.
Struggling with words.
Struggling with words, yes. Well done. Let me ask you this. Are you ready for the end of the semester?
Well, it'll be nice to have a break, but I'm always hesitant to leave. I have to admit it.
Oh, what a smooth comment. Very nicely done. Well, we have a very interesting program tonight, and it all is about one word. That word is forum. And you can make a lot out of the word forum. Tonight we're going to deal with two organizations, entities on campus, that are forums but we'll say with forums, just not to be pretentious. But the issue will be that one is, this is a lively crowd I'm dealing with. I haven't introduced them yet, but they're very lively, trust me. The first is the forum, which is, we have with us Dr. Brian Whalen, who is Associate Dean and Executive Director of Global Education at Dickinson, but also President and CEO of the National Forum on Education Abroad. And welcome, Brian. How are you doing?
Great, Bill. Good to be here.
Very good. And also, we have Dr. Heather Merrill, who is Director of the Clark Forum. And we got that one right because it just changed names officially yesterday from the Clark Center to the Clark Forum. And we're going to get into that because this is an organization that willingly and delightedly went to the word forum. So we're going to find out about that. But we have with you also two current Dickinson students, seniors no less. Is that correct? Of course it's correct. Yes. Firstly, Katie McClellan, who is a project manager for the Clark Forum. We're going to talk about that. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hi.
Okay. I have, by the way, those who are listening might wonder why there was hesitation. I have a habit on the radio to look at one person and talk about the other person. And so people aren't quite sure with whom I'm talking. That's all right. And we have John Wisk. Is that correct? You pronounce that correctly that way?
I'm totally open to pronunciation.
Well, what would be a preferable?
Whiskey. All of the above.
All of the above. Yeah, okay. Well, congratulations. All right. And you're also
a long last name.
That's right. You're also a project manager in the Clark Forum. And Katie, you are a senior majoring in biology.
I am.
And you're from our hometown is Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes.
Very beautiful place. And you hope to study upon graduation for a master's of public health in England and then attend medical school with the aim of working in international public health.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Okay. Now, John, you you are from originally New York City, born in New York City. Well done. Any particular borough?
It took lots of work.
I know, but you were there. You were there all the way. Now, yeah. Listen, any particular borough there?
From Queens.
Queens. Well done. All right. And you are fluent in Spanish and Chinese, and do you have any particular aspirations for the rest of your life?
I'm looking.
This is your forum. That's right.
I'm looking into the Foreign Service, but I looked at the Foreign Service examination and passed out, so I'm not entirely sure.
Well, when you recover, look at it again, because it's really quite good. It's not bad at all. You're totally prepared as a Dickinsonian.
Well, I'm hoping so.
That's right. Why in particular did you pass out? Were the questions or the...
It was asking basically about everything in history ever, and I was a little daunted by that.
Oh. Well, you can handle that.
Oh, yeah. Everything just, ever is not that just, much to ask
no,
for a Dickinson
just go back.
Student,
just go back.
Still,
no, just, was, that's what we major in here.
Right.
Brian, let's talk about the forum. Now, for our listeners... what is this particular forum?
The forum, Bill, the Forum on Education Abroad, was founded 5 years ago. It's a 501c3 charitable organization. And it's a membership association made up of about 260 members. These are colleges and universities from around the world. About 85% of our members are U.S.-based, but we also have institutions in South America, Australia, Europe, Asia, Africa, who are members as well. And its main focus is on improving the quality of education abroad programming. And we do that in a number of different ways. 5 years ago, last month, a group of colleagues of mine founded the organization. It was actually founded in Philadelphia.
As we were, yes.
So we share that
on
in
the
common.
Same porch.
It might have been. I'll have to check that detail, Bill, and I'll let you know about that. It quickly established a home at Smith College, and then this summer, July 1st, it moved here to Dickinson. The organization has achieved very good success in a short amount of time in winning grants, in helping the field advance through the development of standards of good practice for education abroad, which have never been developed before. In fact, that was
there
one
never
of,
have been standards
never.
That no.
There were several attempts, including in the 1950s, in the 1960s, and 1970s. There were national meetings and calls for standards of good practice. In fact, one of the most famous meetings was back in 1960, held at the University of Chicago, and over 500 college presidents, you'll find this interesting, attended that meeting because they were concerned about the lack of quality in education abroad. And there were two competing camps trying to position themselves to dictate what those standards would be, and the effort fell apart. There could not be any agreement at that point, and those efforts subsided. Now, the reason this organization was founded is because of the continual development of for-profit study abroad programs, concern about the proliferation
of businesses
running programs, and colleges and universities not paying attention to the ways in which programs should be embedded within their home campus curriculum and practices. So colleagues became concerned about the quality that was happening in the field. This also at a time when the national government, as you know, is calling for more and more students to study abroad. There's legislation in front of Congress right now calling for 1 million students to study abroad by 2016, by the year 2016. And the Congress is considering giving $45 million in student scholarships each year towards that effort. The field is concerned because we cannot expand adequately without a set of standards and a process for evaluating programs. So this organization was founded with that initial vision to focus on quality and standards, but immediately it turned into a forum for dialogue. And this, I thought...
What type of dialogue? What are you talking about there?
The initial founders of the organization, a group of about 15 people, made a call for ideas. How should we proceed? What are the issues of relevance to you and your daily work as an international educator, as a faculty member involved with global education? And that input formed the basis of how the organization developed. And at each of the forum meetings and conferences and in the publications that are disseminated throughout the year, there's very much this idea of a forum, an exchange of ideas and openness to people having input into the agenda of the organization. And interestingly, over those 5 years, the top two issues each time have been standards for the field and assessment of outcomes, because we really need to know what the substantial outcomes are for students who participate in education abroad so that we can document those and take those results and use them as a feedback loop for how well we're meeting standards and how well our programs are performing. So the two efforts, focusing on outcomes assessment and development and implementation of standards, are seen as the two primary initiatives of the organization.
How severe are the transgressions of quality in the field?
Well, one of the main concerns right now is that 55% of the students, U.S. students who study abroad, and I should back up and just tell you that this organization represents 70% of U.S. students who study abroad. That is our membership, which includes, you know, Harvard, Yale, Dickinson, Gettysburg, Franklin and Marshall, and all the large providers of education abroad programs. We represent 65% of U.S. students who are studying abroad, and that's our focus. And the reason that international universities are involved, by the way, is because they're, in many cases, hosting U.S. students who are studying abroad. But in terms of I'm sorry, I just lost the train of
thought. Are there major transgressions?
Yes.
What are they?
In terms of the duration issue, one of the key problems that we're facing is that programs, colleges, and universities are claiming all sorts of benefits and outcomes for their students who study abroad, when in reality, most of the students who are studying abroad are doing so for a very short time. In some cases, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, over 50% of U.S. students who study abroad. And so there's a real difference between the claims that are being made and the outcomes that we are seeing now in the research that the forum is taking part in and helping to disseminate. And we need to clarify that, you know, programs are different. It's different if you study abroad for a full year. It's different if you study abroad in the target language versus studying in an English language island program in a foreign-speaking location, for example. There's a difference between living with all American students in your study abroad setting versus living with a homestay family or in a dormitory with local students. So program features such as duration, use of language, housing arrangements, whether or not you do substantial research or an internship, all of these elements are being tested now by the forum through our research mechanisms and through our standards of good practice so that we can see, make the field more honest, I should say, in terms of what it says the outcomes of study abroad.
What do you think of this federal effort, a million students abroad? I mean, it's a quantitative goal. Is this going to do anything? Because it sounds like, I mean, do they have to study for a certain period of time, or is it just simply, we want a million students abroad?
There are two problems with the legislation as it's proposed, and the forum has been part of the Lincoln Commission. We have two representatives on the Lincoln Commission, and we've tried to influence the legislation. Unfortunately, those efforts haven't worked as well as I would have liked. One of the problems is that most of the money goes to student scholarships, so there's very little money available for institutions and program providers to develop programs in smart ways, getting faculty involved by having faculty visit sites abroad and form those linkages and develop in a very substantial way the programs on the ground. Just giving money on the front end to students to participate in programs isn't enough. We need a more comprehensive effort, which should go partly to program development as well. And then secondly, the other issue is that there are no guidelines for how this money should be used. The Lincoln Commission looked at a student who studies abroad versus a student who may go on a four-week program and has made no distinctions. They've just said that scholarship money will be available to whatever students apply with no criteria put in place. So those are the two real omissions in the legislation as it stands. Now, having said that, we're continuing to work with Congress to try to alter the bill. It hasn't gone up for a vote yet. The timing on this is that it will occur in the next few months. I'm hopeful that we might have some influence as we go forward.
Okay. So this forum, obviously, involved with international education, global education, involved with trying to bring in a level of accountability.
Yes.
And assessment in an outcome proof into the situation. And I want to get back to that because that's a huge national issue that is very persistent. And then also a candid exchange of voices on international education. Now, global education. Now, we also have a Heather who it works with the Clark Forum. What type of forum is that?
Well, that's actually in some ways a similar forum in the sense that there's an exchange of ideas that this is what we're aiming at, is that a forum, I think it was, we decided that it was a more appropriate term to use to describe what was formerly until last night the Clark Center, because a center is normally a place where people do research. It's normally right. Associated with faculty work, with getting fellowships for a faculty and bringing in speakers mostly to talk, primarily to speak with faculty or to do research. Whereas a forum, which is what the Clark Forum does at Dickinson College, is really aimed at this exchange, an equal and open public exchange of ideas among students, very much among students, among faculty and students, and with the community at large here in Carlisle and in the greater Carlisle area. And increasingly, as Brian is suggesting here, the importance of this internationally with our international programs, mm-hmm. as well as in terms of the curriculum of the college, and the importance of our international connections, that so that we have representatives of from a variety of countries, an always widening variety of countries that will come in and help to teach us about their cultures and their various perspectives. And I think the notion of a forum, it really comes from the Greek Acropolis and then the Roman Forum, and I think of it because I do my research in Italy as these open piazzas where there's places of public assembly. That's what they were originally designed for, as places of gathering, of discussion, of exchange, of things as well as of ideas, of people arguing, making arguments that were in some cases well thought out and perhaps had a number of a group represented a group of people behind them, but that were able to voice their views in an open, sort of democratic, in this sense, form, although you had experts that were coming and leading these speeches. Well, the notion really in the piazza is also these were places of demonstrations. They continue to be the places of demonstrations in much of Europe, and Italy especially is known for that. And I think of it in as the Clark Forum, as a place where our students can really have as much of a safe and comfortable space outside of a classroom where they're being graded to talk, to be able to learn about various topics of contemporary importance, and the word contemporary is very important here as well, and to in some ways examine points of view. Problems from a number of different perspectives, to become aware of problems where in their daily lives in the classroom, as it's true also for faculty and for administrators here, we don't always have a chance to examine issues. For instance, the war, which I think is very important, where this is a country at war, and so that's very important for all of our students. But not our students and our faculty don't always get a chance to read the newspapers and to read articles, scholarly articles, or to hear talk to people at the War College or at the law school or experts from outside about the war and the implications that it has on their daily lives. That's a contemporary issue of extreme importance in the United States, but that we're so busy that we sometimes take for granted. And I think we can easily take for granted. It's understandable because we're always running around so rapidly from one thing to another and preoccupied with so many of our personal problems and our deadlines and all of us in various ways. And yet we're part of a society, and that's what the whole notion of the piazza and the
forum. Why do you need a forum like this in an academic community that's supposed to be debating things anyway?
How
does this work?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
No, this is good. We are going to hear from John. Why do students need this?
Well, because you need, for the same reason that we have classrooms. I mean, you could just as easily say, all right, kids, we've got a wonderful library, learn. But we have a structured way of educating people. And the Clark Forum is just another way to achieve that.
So it's another approach to knowledge, that you want a variety of approaches. And this one, as Professor Merrill has explained, is really a way outside of the more formal classroom. You have another forum that gives you an ungraded way of looking at this in a society that's obsessed with grades.
Yeah, but more than that, I don't see it so much. It's certainly linked to the academic ideals of Dickinson College, because it's very much a liberal arts approach to knowledge. But I don't see it so much as an academic endeavor as
intellectual. Interesting distinction. Katie, yes.
I think it's also important because it's a place of common ground where faculty, staff, students, community members can all come together, and there's no sort of hierarchy as far as like who knows what. And because in a classroom you may have discussions, but there's usually a faculty member leading the discussions, whereas here everybody comes in with varying levels of knowledge about the subject, and everybody comes together with the common knowledge with the common goal of wanting to learn about the issue.
Yeah, I think that's one of the major shifts from the Clark Center to the Clark Forum, is that it was previously there was much more focus on the one-way exchange of information, and I think that one of the things that we're trying to develop with our new image and our new name, is that we want people to be involved, if not necessarily equally, at least
so tangibly. Conversation, disputation, yeah. This sort of thing. Okay. What topics? What sort of subjects?
Well, there are so many actually yeah. that are coming up.
What is particularly appealing? What I mean, when you go through, and I do want to understand how the students are involved with this. We'll get that in a second. But just a selection of topics. How do you? What appeals to you?
Well, I think that's. It's interesting that you say appeals, because I think that...
Well, I could have used another verb, but that's all
yeah.
right.
Yeah, well, I think it's important that you use that one, because...
Oh, good. All right.
it's a distinction that we're trying to make, again, I think with the Clark Center and the Clark Forum,
right.
That it isn't just about what we want to know about.
Ah.
It's what we should know about. That's why we have...
Right.
A wide variety of topics.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Even though we have an overarching theme for each year, and we try and stick to that relatively faithfully, we also want to try and tie in, as the name suggests, our contemporary issues. And I'm an East Asian Studies major, which means that I essentially know nothing at all about science. But it is important that I have a means for...
So you pick up some science information by going to the Clark Forum.
Sure, because we have science. We have events on scientific issues, mm-hmm. just like we have issues or events on political issues. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a trick question to say what are our topics, because our topics are everywhere and they need to be. I think.
Well, except that we do have themes. Actually.
Yeah,
and energy being this year's theme. It also lends itself a great deal to scientific guests
right.
who are scientists.
Very good. How about the student involvement? And Katie, you're a supervisor, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Whom are you supervising?
Myself and one
John,
other.
You're supervising
John.
John. Somehow I think it's going to be very difficult, but that's all right. That's all right.
Myself and one other student, Danielle Gunan, who is also a senior, we supervise the 8 project managers, who really are the ones that do all the work.
Are they unruly? You have to supervise them?
Sometimes they get a little out of hand.
I can see that. That's right.
No, they do great work. What they do is they write the press releases, they produce the posters, the programs, do the background research for the issues in context.
What's this issues in context? What is that?
Issue in context is something that we put into the programs for the events when we have them in, you know, more of a lecture format. We create programs that are sort of a guide for people who have come to the forum.
So, in other words, an issue – this is interesting. So an issue in context would be a concise summary of the – topic.
Yes, sir.
Now, are these distributed to students in general? In other words, if you were to, for example, on your compass or whatever, would you get a summary of these are some key issues you should think about?
What we do is we put the issue in context actually on the Clark Forum webpage before the event. They go up a few days to a week before the event, which just gives a little bit of background info, but it's not, I don't think... They're not distributed to the student population as a whole. This is a list of issues
that
you
like
should
that.
Feel concerned with.
Yeah, interesting.
Until they come to the door.
Until they come
evening.
To the door.
And
at which point they receive
on the evening of the event
the program that has you know it is a summary. It's just some background info to sort of put everybody in the audience on the same page.
Right. And that's right. That's your objective. Well, so what kind of skills are students getting? What did you learn by your? I assume you were at one point supervised.
Which students?
Was, yes.
The students that work at the Clark
yes.
Forum or the students no. that attend Clark Forum?
Oh, you are
events.
Very perspicacious. That's right. It is the
I'm
students...
I'm going to take that as a compliment. I don't know what it means.
That's right. That's right. It's the... Nor do I. No, the thing is... No, seriously. The issue is the students who work at the Forum. What skills are you getting by this engagement?
Do you want to touch upon that?
Well, we're getting a lot of skills, I hope.
Okay.
Like she said, we are designing the posters. We're writing press releases. We are doing radio shows and all these tasks.
So critical thinking
you
skills.
Introduce the guests.
And we're – that's right. And
public speaking skills.
So yes. We've got design skills that we're learning. We each have to become relatively comfortable with some design software and critical thinking skills, as you said. Mm-hmm. I mean, writing coherent introductions, issues and contexts, and press releases requires writing skills. And we have public speaking, which I think is definitely something that all of us can
research.
Use.
Research, yeah. I'm sure you have to do the
research. We hope that we've got a background in that, but certainly it contributes to it.
Let me ask you this. It will sound like an odd question. We heard that global education, and I'll get into this in a larger concept, much of higher education is now under the shadow of accountability. That's the buzzword, all right? What type of accountability is there for the Clark Forum?
Well, I think...
Is there an intellectual accountability for something like this? Should there be? That really got the calls coming in right now. The calls are coming in right and left. So the magic word tonight is accountability.
Well,
I'm losing my audience, folks. I'm losing my panel. The forum is being destroyed. Where were we?
I think that's a tricky question.
Well, yeah, that's the second one you said was tricky. Every question I ask is tricky for you. What is that? You're supervising this guy?
It's out of my reach.
Oh, I can tell. All right, let's assume it's a tricky question. All right?
Because accountability assumes that we have a goal outside of information.
You're getting very deep on me here. Yes.
And at least as I see it, I mean, certainly in the global studies department.
How do you know you're effective? You're communicating.
One of my favorite ways to measure that is when students and faculty and staff and community members stay after the event to talk to the speakers and to talk amongst themselves. Uh-huh. I think that's one of the best ways to gauge really how compelling students found the speaker to be and how important they feel the topic.
There may be a natural accountability in this type of forum where you see even people with differing ideas checking each other. There's a natural accountability.
Yeah. I would say that's difficult, though, actually, because I think sometimes when students don't stay and don't remain, they may and don't ask questions. Sometimes it's because maybe it takes a while for them to think about what it was that they just learned and to connect it to their other understandings.
And they wait. Yeah.
Yes, and it may be something that it may be easier to go and ask questions of someone than someone else. Someone may be more comfortable to speak. It may be more comfortable for students to speak with one person than another. So I think it's very difficult to measure accountability when it comes to events. I mean, you may reach half of the group, and you may lose the other half, but. You won't know that in any kind of tangible way immediately. And I just think, I believe in knowledge for its own sake in some ways, and that's why this whole question of accountability actually is a difficult, if not tricky, question.
Brian, let me go back to you. How obviously, this organization is the your deal, the forum, is taking head-on accountability. How do you feel towards this subject? How does the group feel? Is there one accountability? Is there one measure you're looking for? Yeah, I mean, would you have room for something like this? I mean, and I still want to ask about the interplay between the forums, but what? Go ahead.
I'm happy to answer that, Bill. It's the central question of our organization right now, in fact, because this first stage of our effort was to develop agreed-upon standards of good practice, again, which had never been developed before, which literally involved hundreds and hundreds of people from many different countries, professionals in the field of global education. That stage has been completed. We've accomplished that. We've published the second edition of those standards. Now we're wrapping up the second stage, which was to implement those standards through a pilot program involving 20 different institutions in 4 different countries. And those institutions went through an agreed-upon self-study process with a peer review process following on. And those peer reviewers made judgments about how well those institutions were fulfilling their mission in meeting the standards of good practice. And standards don't mean standardization. They mean quality assurance for an organization that has taken up the principles of good practice of the Forum on Education Abroad. And those principles are not so specific that they would exclude creative and innovative ways that institutions might go about education abroad. In fact, they encourage that. They encourage experimentation and raising the bar and thinking outside the box. So the peer review process is our way of ensuring accountability. Now, what's evolving out of this, and you know, we just had a summit meeting here last week with 30 colleagues from around the world debating this. We're unveiling a quality improvement program for the field, and what we expect is that every 7 or 8 years, member institutions and eventually the whole field will go through this process of ensuring quality for their operations. In addition to that, we're encouraging accountability through sponsorship of outcomes assessment studies, which are balanced, are multifaceted, they have mixed models, they're not simply quantitative, they're not simply qualitative, they involve many different approaches to outcomes assessment because we need a variety of approaches in order to really get at the truth of what we're doing. We also published that research in the authoritative journal in the field, which is a journal that I founded years ago in the 90s back at Boston University, Frontiers. And that comes out twice a year, and it's the Scholarly Journal for Education Abroad. So through encouraging and sponsoring research in the field and also disseminating that research and dialoguing about it, as well as the self-study and peer review process, we feel like we are the leading organization for promoting accountability and ensuring accountability as we move forward.
Hmm. Let me ask John and Katie this first. You both studied abroad, various places, right? You were engaged in research projects and active internships. How would you judge or want the quality of your experience to be judged overseas? It's not a tricky question. I know you're going to say it's a tricky question, but
this is a tricky question.
Yeah.
it's a tricky question because I don't have an answer.
The students, when you go overseas, when you go overseas, do you say, I am going to need to know whether I had the experience that I expected, and that's part of the judgment.
I think that the reason it's such a tricky question is because I'm not sure we know what to expect, because there isn't I was interested to hear the talk about developing accountability for global studies, and I think that the most important thing to first establishes what the goals are. And I'm not sure that a lot of students have much in the way of in-depth goals. The goal is going in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And that can be rewarding or not, depending on what your experience is abroad. But I don't think it's a very specific goal. And so I think a lot of students can come back from a year abroad unsure of what they've accomplished or gained, because outside from being abroad, they didn't have any concrete idea of what they wanted to be doing. I know in my case that's certainly true.
Hmm. Katie, what do you think?
I think it, in some ways, as far as my friends who have studied abroad, it depends upon where they're going. And so, you know, my friends that went to Cameroon, maybe one of the goals for them was learning more about the culture, learning a lot about the families and the traditions that they stayed with, or the families that they stayed with and their traditions. But I think, I mean, for other people, friends who went to Malaga, it's language skills. I myself went to England for a semester, and my goal, you know, one of my goals was to have fun, you know, to just enjoy the experience while I was there. And I think that's something that's hard to gauge. So I don't really know. I think in some ways it does depend where you're going, but in a lot of ways it's sort of an unknown experience. Going abroad is just something that is, it's a kind of an exciting adventure.
Does this information make it harder for your accountability issues?
I think what makes it harder for us, actually, is what's happening in our campuses back here in the U.S., which tends to be an approach to student academic life where we are structuring experience for students. Our tendency now is to package things in very understandable modules and pathways, and we're sort of moving in the way that my kids experienced Little League. You know, it was over-organized for them. You know, and I used to joke, I used to say, you know, better for the adults just to leave the bats and balls and gloves and leave. You know, let the kids play a little bit and experiment. The problem for study abroad in this climate of our inclination to structure learning into all of these organized ways is that when you go abroad, the value, the ultimate value, is to do that on your own and to experience that as much as you can on your own and reach down into your own person for the resources you need to gain that confidence, that maturity of mind, to navigate your way in that culture. And sometimes having a plan ahead of time that you're going to accomplish. I mean, some students do that and that's fine, it works for them, but I think sometimes it cuts you off from the possibilities of the kind of learning that is unique to study abroad. So for us to approach assessment and accountability in this atmosphere, one of our approaches has been to involve students. We publish what has become a very successful publication. We received a major grant for this. And we publish each year a special issue showcasing students from around the world who have done what we believe is the top research as part of their study abroad. And most of this research is an excellent example of students who do independent research. They do oral histories in Kenya, or they're doing environmental studies research in China. They're doing research on human rights in Geneva, depending on what their topic is. And it really does show the multifaceted way in which study abroad can challenge students and how students can meet that challenge. By the way, a Dickinson student wrote one of the papers that was selected for this publication in its inaugural issue, Michael Stambolis, who's back in Toulouse working there now. But I think it is a complex issue, Bill, because we're dealing with student development, with all the intellectual skills and interpersonal skills that are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're developing those while you're overseas. You're being challenged in a way that you're not necessarily challenged in your home environment here. And that's what makes it very exciting, but also unpredictable, and the reason we need many different approaches to this kind of outcomes assessment.
Let me go back to the Clark Forum second. Is the Clark Forum distinctive on an American college or university?
Oh, yes.
And how? In what way?
Well, I mean, for one thing, there are very few of such places in at liberal arts colleges throughout the country. Most places, most colleges and universities that have any sort of anything that's similar have centers that are very focused on one topic. For instance, you know, or it'd be the humanities, or it'd be a women's center. All kinds of topics that are just very, very specific to a disciplinary problem. The human rights, the Center for Human Rights, for instance, would be, which is great. Even global centers that they're opening more and more now, which of course does encompass a lot, but is still limited to one general kind of set of problems. And what the Clark Forum is it's been from its outset is interdisciplinary, and it's designed to bring together scholars from and students from the different disciplines on the campus, and to bring them into dialogue with each other so that it's a true liberal arts experience. I mean, I think one of the things that's so also unique about it is the fact that it's situated in Carlisle, where we have a war college and we have also a law school, which I find fascinating personally because, in a scholarly sense, because the war college, the knowledge that they have at the war college, I think in some ways is underused, is about the military. It's a certain kind of very, in some sense, limited.
Yeah, focused, absolutely.
Focused knowledge, which we don't have.
Right.
But it's about strategy. It's about institutional arrangements. And it's a kind of an understanding of life that we don't normally get here at a liberal arts college. But we have a great deal to offer to them. And they have a great deal to offer to us. I mean, this is true for in business domains as well. I mean, a liberal arts perspective on business for students who are in IB&M or for students who are in business in general, this is what the original idea, I think, of the Clark Center was from Henry Clark, who was a business person, was to bring in a much more European, if I may, perspective, which is a more grounded in the classics of education, asking philosophical questions of business, and we do the same thing. We can ask those questions of military strategy in the same kind of way, and I think that is really one of the major advantages of having this kind of place here is that it's a cross fertilization. It's a way where there are debates and there are different perspectives. I think that's one of the beauties also of having global education developing and growing as it is under Brian Whelan's tutelage these the past years, and expanding as we were just going to have a program now in the Middle East, because we don't. This gives us an opportunity to, which we really need, I think, in the contemporary world, to learn about other cultures, to learn other perspectives, other ways of understanding various problems. And some of the central problems, obviously, we don't know much about Islam at all.
Yeah. Does the Clark Center, Clark Forum have any plans to extend the, I know you bring people from over, from internationally to campus. But do you have any plans to, in a very creative way to link Global Ed with the Clark Forum and have voices overseas? I mean or is there anything on that horizon?
Well, we have done some things already, Bill. We've done two faculty development seminars and conferences overseas with the old Clark Center, one in Bologna focusing on issues of immigration, comparing problems in Europe with problems in the United States. And our colleagues from the University of Bologna, as well as the University of Bremen, Moscow State University, others participated in that conference. They came down from our other centers, our partner universities, to the University of Bologna and our center in Bologna. We engaged with that issue there. And then last year we did the same in Yaoundé at the University of Yaoundé and our partnership there with selected faculty from Dickinson. The focus of that seminar and conference was religion and political power. And that, too, was very successful. And now Heather and I, are meeting next week to plan a possible seminar and conference. Heather, do you want to talk about that?
We're talking the theme of the Clark Forum next year is a gendered world. And in connection with the global programs and with our interest in and understanding some of the major problems having to do with, really with our lack of knowledge about the Middle East really, and about people from Muslim countries and what that actually means, we're thinking about putting together a conference and perhaps more than one set of programs that will connect
perhaps have a
conference
that's
in the
excellent.
Middle East. Yes.
Yeah. Can I ask the students,
and involve students as well.
Right. Could I ask the students a query? Now, here we're dealing with something clearly, as established, very unusual on liberal arts college campuses. Students come here. How do they take to the Clark Forum? How do they interact? Do they see it for what it is? Do they realize what an opportunity this is? How does that work?
I'll jump in on this and then let Katie take over. I think that one of the reasons that we were advertising the name change and one of the reasons that we're here tonight, besides the fact that you invited us.
Thank you.
Is
that wasn't a tricky invitation.
It was very straightforward. Is because one of our major concerns is that it is hard to get students to, A, recognize us for the center or forum that we are, and associate us with what we're trying to do. And one of the real goals, I think, of tonight's discussion, at least on our end, is informing people on campus and in Carlisle.
What would you say to people? Just say it. They're out there. What would you say to them?
Well, I think that we've done a pretty good job of covering that. We are there to provide Carlisle and Dickinson College professors and students with a breadth of knowledge from which they can pursue their own interests, discover interests. But really it's, like I say, about providing a breadth of knowledge and experience for students more than providing an in-depth approach to something, which is what Professor Merrill was talking about with other centers that exist, that are more focused on providing depth rather than breadth. And I think that that's what sets us apart.
Katie?
I think also one of the goals with this name change is making it a more welcoming environment for students. You know, we don't just invite you to come. We want you to be there. We want your perspective. We want you to come and learn about these things, because I think it should be a goal of all citizens of the U.S. and of global citizens to at least have some understanding of the issues that we try to raise with students here on campus. And so by trying to make it a more welcoming environment, making students come out of their residence halls and come engage these topics, I think that's what we're trying to do.
Any new initiatives to do that? Anything you're going to try?
Well, I think there was a class held, an actual academic class held at the forum last week, and I think we're going to try other things, you know, bringing speakers in during lunches, getting faculty and even students to host discussions over lunches and other, you know, off, not the classic 7 o'clock seminar time period. So just coming up with more creative ways to get students involved that are a little more out of the ordinary.
And we've recently formed a student board. I'm not going to let you talk about the specifics of what it is and how people can get involved in it. Okay. But
Well, it's being run. It was just started by Jolie Rankin, who is our program coordinator at the Clark Forum, and she has representatives from a number of student organizations on campus, and it's as wide as we can gather, actually, at this point. She's now just in the formation phases of this. And this student board will meet regularly to give feedback, provide feedback on the programs, to participate more in the programming, including common hours, which we're going to be doing some work with. And we also handle common hours.
Right.
And so that they will she has mentioned to them already at their preliminary meeting will be able to help to create come up with ideas and think and suggest speakers and help to organize two common hours per semester, and we'll also enable them to suggest some of the talks for the evening, the speakers that will come. Actually, we had two student-initiated programs this fall semester that were not, they were from organization. One was from actually a student who was working in Baltimore and realized, and it was fascinating. She was working with an organization, and she said, you know, she was doing this to actually help teach Spanish and to help it become a bilingual organization as a volunteer during the summer in Baltimore, and she found that that she didn't know anything about this population, that this was a really underprivileged population that she and her own upbringing had never been exposed to, having lived in Baltimore all of her life. And she asked herself, she was very self-reflective, very bright student, and she said, as so many of the students are here, and she said, you know, if I didn't know anything about this, I'll bet my classmates and the rest of the students at Dickinson don't know anything about it either. So she called the Clark Forum, and we thought it was so exciting. It was really dealing with sweatshops that we brought in. That's the kind of thing that we would like to formalize in this
group. That's excellent.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, just one final question. If I were to ask you, can you name pairs of professors at Dickinson who respectfully disagree about areas of the world or of knowledge or issues? Could you name any? Because
no.
Don't
ask me that question.
especially after a faculty
meeting. What's best for my grades?
Right. Because the one thing that is absolutely fascinating, and I used to find as a student, I found this in graduate school, you would have your own professors who actually disagreed materially about issues, and you'd see them go at this back and forth. And that became very exciting to watch them articulate their particular points of view. But I just wondered, for our students at Dickinson, have any of these pairings surfaced in a good way? So that you say, oh, well, you know, the issue of energy, there is professor this in this position, there's professor this in that position, and they really go at it. They disagree. Has that surfaced whatsoever? Because I'm thinking of our personality. Our personality which sets up and supports organizations like this. Because we have professors we know who are globally oriented. But I'm wondering if we have projected an image that is of respectful disputation.
It's a cultural problem, actually.
I'm not sure that this is an indictment or a reflection of failures on the part of Dickinson College.
No.
I mean, certainly in the East Asian Studies Department, we're a small enough department so that I think most people see more or less on the same page. I suppose it depends on what specific issue we're discussing, but more or less, I haven't seen any.
Is that good?
I think that it certainly makes taking multiple courses in the same department easier.
Good point.
Yeah.
But.
Uh-oh.
We're being cut off.
Disputation is coming. The airwaves are shutting us off. Let me thank my guests. Keep that thought. It was a tricky question. See you next time. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.